Why did God create the universe? By Peter Fedima. For believers in God, and in His holy word, it should be inconceivable that there is not a sensible, definite purpose for God having created the cosmos. What scripture passages may we resort to for receiving clarity on this topic? A closely associated challenge is to find an answer to the question, did sin and evil come into God's universe against His intention? It would seem that an intelligent consensus on these all-important issues would greatly help us to become more nobly focused in our study and fellowship. At the outset, the Bible does not tell us, in so many words, why God created the universe. However, in 1 Cor 15:24-28, we receive purposeful information concerning our topic. Here we are told that at the end, consummation, when Christ will have completed His task of bringing all into subjection, that then, God, the Father, will become all in all. V28. From this, we know why God created the universe, don't we? It is noteworthy to see what it says in Job 3:8-7. When we check the context of this verse, it is clear that when God created the earth, the sons of God shouted for joy. Creation was an impressive manifestation of God's wisdom, His head, and His power, His hand. But the scriptures tell us that God is love, 1 John 4:8-16. By creating a vast, immeasurable universe, filled with all kinds of great and beautiful things, God was able to clearly reveal His wisdom, His head, and His power, His hand, but not His love, His heart. Love is an abstract commodity which cannot be created, but must be demonstrated, or acted out. It is axiomatic that love longs for a love response. Therefore, it is easy to see that it would not be enough for God to reveal His wisdom and power, only. An admiration for His wisdom and power would not satisfy the love heart of God. This necessitated a plan by which God would be able to show that He, indeed, is love. This made a temporary estrangement between God and His creatures a must. To make a long story short, God arranged it for His creatures to be in dire need of His grace. Grace is love in action. In order for God to convince even the most skeptic of His creatures, it was necessary that the demonstration of His love would be beyond question. Well, we know what happened. God gave His dearest, the Son of His love, Col. 1:13. No greater love has anyone than he who lays down his life for another. This was demonstrated at Calvary. In brief, this is the basic purpose for the travail of the ages. At the end, consummation of the ages, all in heaven and earth will be reconciled to God through the blood of the cross, Col. 1:20. On Golgotha, God revealed the depth of His heart, His love. At the consummation of the ages, all intelligent creatures, in heaven and on earth, will voluntarily, from the depth of their heart, worship God and acclaim Him as Abba Father. God won't force anyone to worship and acclaim Him. Such would not satisfy the hunger of His heart. But He will arrange it through circumstances, judgments and the giving of His Spirit, that everyone will respond to His love with a wholehearted love response. That is the good news we may share and rejoice in. In response to the question, whether sin came into this universe contrary to God's intentions, let us consider the following: if God is omnipotent, almighty, omniscient, knowing all, and omnipresent, everywhere, and has as His objective to become all in all, 1 Cor 15:28, then it is impossible to accept that evil and sin came into this universe without God's intention that it, temporarily, should be present. It must be stressed that if evil and sin, that is, the consequences of it in the form of eternal torment, or everlasting annihilation, are to remain a permanent feature of God's work of creation, then it is impossible for 1 Cor 15:28c to become a glorious reality. God has endowed us with intelligence. Common sense will tell us if God set out to become all in all, and succeeds to do so in only a small percentage, the great majority to end up in hell, according to popular theology, then it may be asked if he can become all in any of his intelligent creatures. Then God can be likened unto the man who set out to build a tower, but failed to finish it, as we can read in Luke 14:28-30. Here is the passage: suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "His fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Luke 14:28-30. I cannot accept that God did not sit down and do what Scripture, in Luke 14, recommends we do. No, God will not fail in his objective and will not expose himself to the ridicule of everybody saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." I think it to be obvious that God will succeed most magnificently, to his glory and to the well-being of all his creatures. This we also know from the statements in 1 Peter 1:19-20 and Rev 1:3-8, where it speaks of the Lamb of God, foreordained and slain before sin entered this world. This tells us that God had solved the problem of sin in advance. God is not like us, human beings, who fail, again and again, in spite of our best efforts. No, God is God. And he controls and provides all that is needed for everyone to come to a fullness of life which will never end. 1 Cor 1:5-26 tells us that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That leaves nothing, but life without end, in full harmony with God, for God is love. Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to Main Index Page.